Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
This morning we're going to be speaking about a man that you will find to be a very great man. In studying his life, I found that he was an exceptional man. Verse number 1 of chapter 18 says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshaiah, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old, was he when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. He called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him." Father, I need you this morning. I pray that your mercy and grace would fall upon us. We've already been blessed by the singing, the special that James reminded us of, that sometimes the difficult things that we go through are your mercies in disguise. You moving us and getting us where we need to be so that we don't get even more hurt. Sometimes you do that because we don't listen very well. We're sheep. Sometimes sheep are stubborn. Sometimes your hand of blessing is upon us, but it's not seen. And sometimes you have to remove your hand of blessing because of our stubborn hearts. And I pray that you will clean us up this morning. That you'll meet with us. That your presence and your spirit will be here. We are unable, but you are always able. And Lord, there are dissatisfied hearts, there are troubled hearts, there are wicked hearts, there are tender hearts, there are surrendered hearts here this morning. May your Holy Spirit pierce through the shells, the hard shells. The distractions are many. We just need you to overcome those distractions in our heart and our mind. The troubles outside of these four walls are great, but greater is he that is in here than he that is in the world. And Father, I pray that you'll help us. You'll give me the words, that you'll use me, that I'll be a river bed and you be the river of water flowing through my life, that I'll be an empty vessel and that you will fill me with your riches. It's the only way things will get done here. It's the only way somebody will get something from your word is if you preach the message. You've given the idea, you've given the thoughts, you've given the outline. Preach your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hezekiah is a man that I want you to first of all know. And by the way, if you continue to read through this passage of Scripture, you'll find an interesting phrase that I'm not even going to really address, but I titled the message that phrase because I found it so interesting, and it was just basically Hezekiah. God was going to do some things for Hezekiah for God's namesake. And so I want you to know that everything that's done is done for His sake. And that's the title of my message. I want you to see Hezekiah, and I want you to know that he had a great testimony. Here's a man that had such a wonderful, outstanding reputation. You know, the Bible says a good name is to be rather chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And Hezekiah certainly had a good name. Three things that stand out about his name. Verse number 3, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did. Hey friend, I want you to know that's a good king right there. That's a king that was following after Christ. He did that which was right before God. As a matter of fact, Hezekiah probably was the closest king to King David of all the kings that ever walked as a king. You'll find other kings that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but they did not tear down this or did not do that. But not Hezekiah. The Bible says that Hezekiah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and it specifically says, according to all that David his father did. What a testimony. What a name. He was known as a king of God. He listened to what God said. He besought God. He was a godly king. He had a great testimony. He had a great testimony not only because he was a good king and he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord as David his father did, but he was also so godly that he was known to remove all the idols and for tearing down all of the wicked idols, including a 750-year-old brazen serpent that Moses himself had built. Verse number 4, he removed the high places and brake the images, cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. You think about that, friend. He broke down the pieces of that brazen serpent that Moses had made. He was a king so godly that not only did he break down the false idols, that was easy. He tore down part of Israel's history. He tore down a statue that was 750 years old. Now, you know, listen, I do not appreciate what's going on in the United States of America. I don't appreciate it. I don't. Tearing down your history doesn't change it. Tearing down a statue doesn't change anything about our past. You either learn from history or you repeat it. But none of those statues are even 300 years old. This was a 750-year-old statue that Moses made in the wilderness. Now, Moses was such an iconic figure back then, just like he is today. Moses, the man that God gave the ten. You know, there are some people that I respect and honor. I would love to have some relics of some of the great preachers that I followed and that wouldn't it be neat to have one of Billy Sunday's Bibles? That'd be neat. You know, I'm fortunate enough to have my dad's first Bible that he studied out of. I'm fortunate that's in my office. There's a few things that I have of my father's, and I appreciate it. But you think of, wouldn't it be neat to have one of C.H. Spurgeon's handwritten sermons? That'd be pretty neat. That'd be precious to me. It'd be precious. Can you imagine being able to have the brazen serpent that Moses made? But Hezekiah was such a godly man. Hezekiah tore down that statue. Why? Why did Hezekiah tear down that statue? Was it because of their past? Did they remove the serpent because people were offended by its historical sentiment? Maybe people that weren't born in Judah were walking by and saying things like, "We aren't from Judah, and this statue offends me. You should tear it down." Do you think that's why? No. Hezekiah tore down this statue for one reason. It was being worshipped rather than God. Even good relics can become idols. I love the old church over there. As a matter of fact, Victory Baptist Church saw two great revivals. And some of you have been here long enough to know that. You were a part of it. And both of those great revivals happened in that old building over there. Those of us that were here from nearly the beginning remember that, know and love what that building represents. I want it to stay. Some people don't have any attachment to that building. I understand that. For the last 20 years or 18 years, this is the 19 years, this is the only building that, if you've ever been in our church only for 19 years, this is the only building you know. But for those that were here from the beginning, meeting outside in the yard and waking up and going, setting up chairs at the YWCA so that we could have a church service, and then renting this building over here at nighttime at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We only could go from 5 to 6 because the Miracle Revival Center started at 6:30, and so Dad had to be done by 6, which was cool. Because, you know, Dad never got done within an hour of a service. And then the church being offered to buy that place, and we bought that place, and some of you with your own hands, sweat and tears went in there and painted over walls that were purple and orange and pink, and fixed up old pews. We had old wooden pews for the longest time, and then we got our first carpeted pew. Wow, that was luxury. Cleaning up downstairs and fixing it up so that we could have Sunday school classes, and Larry Furman busting his foot because he's laughing so hard at a Christmas program. He had a cast on his foot, and he laughed so hard that he kept doing this, and he busted the concrete out of the middle. I mean, that's still over there. Those are neat little thoughts. And then where I was called to preach was sitting right over here. I remember. I was sitting right over here in that old building. John Van Gelderen, for 2 different times, was preaching a 7-day revival meeting that broke into a 14-day revival meeting one time. The next time it broke into a 17-day revival meeting. I remember that. I love that old building. I want it to stay. But the day that that building turns into a God for the people of Victory Baptist Church is the day that we should tear it down. And if that building stands in the way of God's progress, I'll be the first one with a sledgehammer. Because God doesn't live in buildings. I think you and I need to learn to appreciate things, but I think that too many times, fundamental Baptists like we are, we have made gods out of people. This preacher or that preacher. This college or that college. This camp or that camp. And I can pretty much guarantee you that every time you make a God out of a camp, a college, or a preacher, he's going to let you down royally. God will see to it. Do not make me a God. I don't want him to tear me down. Do not make this place a God. I don't want God to burn it down. He is God, and He alone. Can you imagine the guts of King Hezekiah? 25 years old. He walks out there, tear down the idols, the high places too. They went, took the army and went through and destroyed all the false temples and all of the false idols. I mean, tore them down and got rid of them out of the land of Judah. Then he came back to Jerusalem. Can you imagine his next order and decree from the throne? The serpent of Moses? Yeah, great place, isn't it? Oh, just Israeli history. Wow. Moses touched that serpent. I mean, Moses touched it. Moses touched it. I mean, we've only heard stories of Moses. 750 years ago, Moses built that. Can you imagine tearing down your house and going in, and inside the wall was a little case, and inside that case was a, you open it up and it said the glasses of George Washington, or the false teeth of George Washington? Can you imagine? You'd be like, oh, I'm a millionaire. I'm rich. These are going to the Smithsonian, and my name and picture is going to be beside it. I'm actually touching the thing that George Washington touched. I know a lot of people that go to Israel, and that's how they feel when they go to Israel, right? I don't blame them either. I'm actually walking where Jesus Christ walked. I'm in the tomb where Jesus' body laid. I'm in the garden where Jesus prayed. I mean, that I got to be honest with you, that would be special to me too. But we can you imagine Hezekiah standing up in his royal decree and saying, all right, men, good job for tearing down all the idols. Here's what I want you to do now. See the brazen serpent of Moses? Yeah, go tear it down. Break it up. Bust it up. And the one soldier looking at the other soldier. What did he just say? Go break it down. I'm going to assume, this is an assumption, Hezekiah wasn't a very popular man at that particular moment in history. But his popularity did not matter to him if he was right with God. He removed a 750-year-old relic that Moses built. What a man of God, for the sole purpose because that idol was being worshipped as a god. Verse number 5 tells us another great quality about him. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings. But that's just not all. Nor any that will be before him. Did you know that Hezekiah is the second greatest king, probably of all times? The second godliest king of all times? You say, well, I thought he was the best. No, he's the second. He was king of Judah. Several years before, after the death of Solomon, Israel, the nation of Israel, was split to northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was called Israel. The southern kingdom was called Judah. The northern kingdom called Israel never had one good king. They were wicked. Jeroboam, who I messed up on Wednesday night, but Jeroboam made Israel to sin. Jeroboam made Israel to sin. It's mentioned 19 times. Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. There were 19 kings of Israel. And every time that we wanted to see that there were 19 kings of Israel, God wanted to make sure that you knew that Jeroboam was the one that made Israel to sin. Never had a good king, not 19 kings, not one good king, not in Israel. But in Judah, there were several. If I'm not mistaken, maybe 8, but don't hold me to that. There may have been more or less. I can't remember off the top of my head. But there were several good kings in Israel, or Judah, excuse me. Several good kings in Judah. And Hezekiah was one of them. And the Bible says that there was no good king of Judah before, as good a king as before Hezekiah, and there was no greater king after Hezekiah. This means that the only possible solutions to being a greater king than Hezekiah would have been Saul, David, or Solomon. And when I talk about godliness, we know that David was a man after God's own heart. You can't top that. Solomon, as wise as he was and in the way that God blessed him, Solomon was not the most godly man. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's, at the least, the terminology would be polygamy. Adultery is what God would call it. And yes, Solomon got to build the temple, and Solomon did great things. Solomon was considered the wisest man because he asked for wisdom. But Hezekiah, there was no king before in Judah before him or after him that was a better king. To me, that makes Hezekiah the second greatest king of all of Israel's history. What a testimony! What a man! Would to God that you and I would live our lives to be the greatest for God. That we did everything to please Him. That when it's all said and done and we're lying in state, that it could be said about us that there was none before Him or none after Him in His family, in His place of business, in His ministry that loved God more. There was none before Him and there'll be none after Him that could love God more. Now, I know that gets a little complicated when we're dealing with a bunch of families that are interrelated here, but I want you to know, wouldn't that be a testimony? That was Hezekiah's testimony. There's not a king greater than Hezekiah before him, and there's not a king greater than Hezekiah after him. And I want you to know that's the testimony that you and I need to have. But I don't think that we strive to have a testimony like that. I don't think that we strive to be that kind of a Christian. I think that we're satisfied with being a lukewarm Christian. We're satisfied with being a Josiah. We're satisfied with being some other king that wasn't as great. We're satisfied with being a Solomon or a Saul. When we're dealing with sports, we want to be the greatest. That's one thing that society has tried to take away from our children, by the way. The ability to strive to be great. Because we don't even keep score in underage soccer. Doggone right, I keep score. Summer was playing soccer when she was about 4 years old. And she scored. I said, yes, she scored. We're up 1-0. The coach turned around and said, we don't keep score. I said, sister, we keep score. And when we got in the car, if we won 4-0, I said, you won 4-0. I said, way to go. And if you lost, I said, you lost 3-2. Get better. I kept score. Oh, you're certain? No. You're hurting their psyche by not thinking that they have to work hard to accomplish something. Give me that pansy stuff. If you really want to know what I think, ask me. But would to God that we strived, that we let God live through us so pure and clean that when we're looked at the last time, there was no godlier lady that ever set foot in Victory Baptist Church than that lady. And there'll probably never be a godlier lady after her either. Instead of, she was a good lady, but boy, she sure could talk. Or, she was a good lady, but man, she liked to gossip. She was a good lady, but she really wasn't that faithful. Good lady, great, sweet, 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 sweet lady. Great man, hard working, but a temper. Boy, he had a temper. Remember that story that one time he got mad and he punched that guy in the face? Boy, he had a temper, didn't he? Yeah, real godly. He was tough. Well, he could fish. He could hunt. He could throw that ball. He could work. wasn't that faithful to church. I mean, his children don't go to church anymore. And I mean, that wasn't the priority of his life. But man, he was a good man. That was a good man. Is that your testimony? Listen, all things being equal, there will be a last day for every one of us. And you will either be remembered or forgotten for who you are. Hezekiah's testimony was great. I'm not even going to preach the rest of the sermon. What's your testimony? Who are you? Are you known for doing right in the sight of God? Like the Apostle Paul? Are you known for doing right in the sight of God, like some other hero of faith? If this was days of kingships, would you be known as being a king or a queen that was following after the heart of God? And there were several that did, but none of them reached this quality. Because all of them that followed the king, most of them it says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but, it's a lot of the times that what it says, but he did not remove the secret places. He did not remove the high towers. But here you have a man that says, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord as David his father did. And then you saw what he did. And he did the easy things. You know, you and I as believers, we can do the easy things, right? Well, we know we're not supposed to drink beer. We know we're not supposed to cuss. We know we're not supposed to go there. We're not going to do those things in our life. But I'm going to follow that guy over there because, man, that guy's that's the guy I'm going to follow. Is that the way your pastor's leading? No, but that's who I'm following. You're wrong, friend. You're wicked wrong. Wicked wrong. Hebrews 13:17 tells you to obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your soul. If you're a member of Victory Baptist Church, there's only one person that God's put. There's either one or two possibilities. God did not put me here, or God did put me here. What gives the church the spiritual responsibility to find out and ask and seek counsel if you're not sure, not from somebody else, but from the pastor. And listen, never ask for it. This is not an egotistical program here. This is not what I want. This is not, I have to seek wisdom because, like I said in Sunday school class, when a 70-year-old comes to me for wisdom, they've forgotten more than I've learned. I have to go to God and ask for wisdom. Found this interesting. This is just free. And it doesn't really, it doesn't bother me except for the fact of spiritual maturity. Nobody knew what to do these last 5 months. Nobody knew what to do. I didn't know what to do. The guy down the street didn't know what to do. You didn't know what to do. Nobody knew what to do. There was no game plan. So we all had to do what we needed to do. We all had to pray and ask and seek the face of God, right? Every pastor needed to do that. And you as individuals should do that too. In 5 months, not one person asked me, "Pastor, what should I do? Should I come to church? Should I not come to church?" In 5 months, not one. I had one person ask me, "Preacher, if it bothers you that we're coming to church, we won't come if it bothers you." I did have a guy do that, and I had another lady come up to me after several weeks, and she said, I just need to talk to somebody. And I said, well, let's talk. And then I just told her how I believed. And she says, I'm glad that I ran into you because I was searching. And I said, why didn't you ask? Is why I ask other men that I thought were godly, and that's the way they directed me. That's what she said. I said, well, I'm sorry, but there's only one pastor. You say, where do you get that? Hebrews 13:17. Just like I want you to obey Romans 13, I need you to obey Hebrews 13. It's not my idea. When the decisions that were made for this church were made, they were not made because this is what Nathan wants to do. I can't tell you how many times I woke up and said, Amanda, I wish somebody would call me, give me scriptural reasons that I could shut down the services. I can't tell you how many times I asked her that. Because I am so uncomfortable. Leadership is not about being in charge. Leadership's about being in front. Either you follow or you don't. What's your testimony? I remember Pastor Walls for years. Rick Erwood said something last Sunday night, and he embarrassed me. Normally, he told me afterwards, he says, normally what I do, and I sit there, I told him, I said, you don't understand what happened Sunday morning. I explained it to him after the service. He laughed. He says, well, that's what God laid on my heart, and I couldn't get away from it. I said, well, he goes, normally what I do is I usually bring the preacher and the wife up here, and I'll sit him in a seat and have everybody come over. I said, I'm so glad you didn't do that. But he said something last Sunday that reminded me of Pastor Walls. Pastor Walls preaches a funeral a week, has for 20 years, a funeral a week, 52 a year at least. And he said, I can't tell you how many times I heard him get up there and preach a funeral. A lot. And he would say something like this. This is so and so. They were a member of my church since I've been here. And not one time did they ever cause me any grief. I can't tell you how many times I heard that. And I can't tell you how many times he didn't say that. Your job is not to not cause me grief. That's not your job. Your job is to follow God. That's what I'm after. I'm not after you to make an idol out of me. I've already said that. Don't do that. Because if you make an idol out of me, he'll destroy me. You make an idol out of this church, he'll destroy this church. He's a jealous God. He has the right to be a jealous God. But I want you to know, if you make an idol out of sports, and if you make... Isn't it interesting that he took sport away for a long time? You make an idol out of sports, he takes it away. Make an idol out of your finances. Make an idol out of your job. Isn't it interesting how many idols God took away these last 5 months? Do you think that he might be trying to get our attention? He even took the idol of church away for a lot of people. This is not God's house. You are. Act like it. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord God. What's your testimony? I got the rest of the sermon, but God said stop, so I stopped. What's our testimony? What's my testimony? My dad's testimony is set in stone. It's done. It's done. He can't add to it or take it away. I can add to it. His children can add to it. You that grew up under his ministry should be growing and adding to it. But my dad can't do anything. He can't come up here and say, this, this, and this. I'm just thankful that we had such a great leader, our first pastor. My goal is not to compete with my dad. My goal is to be a follower of Christ. And if it's said of my life There goes Nathan Barker. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did his father Bob. I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that. But I'd rather say, there goes Nathan Barker. He followed after God like no one before, or no one after. That should be all of our personal goals. Where are you at, spirits? God has used my voice to give you something to think about, to chew on. What's your testimony?
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.